What did you think of the hearing and why it was canceled?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I really don't know. I was surprised when she said a date. I really was. I was like, okay, you know. But I think that you know, she was going by her regular rhythms, right? And set a date, and somebody got with her. Like, what the f*** are you doing? And she just as promptly unsaid it, you know. And really, I haven't read the case she cited, to be perfectly honest, but according to what Robert says and the rest of the people who have checked the case, it's bullshit. The case really doesn't apply. But, you know, as I've always said, you know, it isn't what the law in the book says, what judges say the law is. So there you have it.
Yeah, and isn't it odd that they keep on all these decisions that the state Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court makes, they, like, aren't retroactive in this really funky
exactly.
way that doesn't
exactly.
include you.
Exactly. I mean, it's almost personal. But, I mean, you know, that's one way of looking at it. But the other thing is that, I mean, where is the logic of saying that something is unconstitutional on Tuesday, but if you did it on Monday, it's okay? And that's essentially the logic that the court has adopted for, you know, not just in my case, but for thousands of cases, you know. And it's the rule of time versus the rule of law. And, you know, if you really look at people who have had unconstitutional procedures in their cases, that number must be, you know, in the hundreds of thousands, frankly. And I'm not just talking about state cases. I'm talking about federal cases. I mean, look at the Blakely case. I mean, and look at the recent case that came down essentially affirming Blakely and invalidating the federal sentencing guidelines. Well, for people who have had that, let's say, 3 years ago or 5 years ago and have completed their appeals and been denied relief, they were essentially sentenced under unconstitutional federal guidelines. But it means nothing because they're through the system. And people who are still in the system can raise and probably win on the exact same issue. That's schizophrenic. And it's the luck of the clock. Who gets to the courtroom first, and who gets later? And that's crazy.
It
but
is.
That's the system they've created.
You know, it's like they're patching up something that's broken. But it also, it's like doesn't recognize just the fundamental fairness of somebody's constitutional error should apply.
But the real deal is if you've ever sat down, and I know millions of Americans haven't done it. You know, I mean, you almost have to be in kind of law school or pre-law or something to sit and read these cases. But sometimes the most eye-opening stuff is to sit down and read what they've said. And I'm not talking about these recent cases, although that's all interesting. But I'm talking about, you know, 100 years ago. You know, I mean, I remember for me, one of the most traumatic experiences in the world was sitting down and reading the quote-unquote majority opinion in Dred Scott. And I mean, I remember reading it and...
This call is from a correctional institution and is subject to monitoring and recording.
I remember reading it over and over again, and essentially, you know, I'd heard about this case when I was in the party. You know, we had, you know, snatched quotes from it for the paper, and it was on the cover of the paper. But had I sat down as a 14 and 15-year-old and actually read the case? No. Well, I did, you know, years ago when I was down Huntington. It blew me away, you know. It blew me away, and it gave me a real education. And here's the other thing. I've known people who've gone to law school, got degrees, and became lawyers. And I asked them, have they read the case? And they say, no. I said, you haven't read Dred Scott, the one of the most famous cases? They said, no, they don't teach that in law school. I mean, you can surely look it up or go into a law library and find it, but they don't teach that.
Tell people what's in it.
Well, that's the case where a Chief Justice named Robert Brooks Tawney, who... like the majority of the Supreme Court at the time, were slaveholders, slave owners, who ruled that a black man has no rights, that a white man is bound to respect. And the interesting thing is that the case, even though it is, you know, it took a war to kind of reverse their holding, it's never been judicially overturned. I tell people that. I mean, if you look it up today, it's still used, parts of it. They say not that part, but it's used in other contexts because it's, I think almost every one of the justices wrote a separate opinion. So one's for this, one's for another. And so, you know, it's a very complex holding. The other thing is, I mean, think about the rightness of essentially slave owners ruling on the constitutionality and rightness of slavery. What are they going to say? What do you expect them to say? There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. Yeah. I think it shouldn't be just kept in dusty law libraries. I think school kids should read it, you know, so they'll know.
And the things that happened 100 years ago, 50
yeah.
years ago, in people's lifetimes even,
right.
people just, there's no historical memory. Like looking at those.
Not in America.
Looking at those confirmation hearings.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just unbelievable. I was like looking at thinking, what country are these people living in? It's certainly
exactly.
not this one.
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing was watching the confirmation hearings is the kind of unmitigated arrogance. I was looking at Gonzalez. He was like, essentially what he was saying was, you know, come on, you know you're going to vote for me. I mean, he, I looked at that kind of thing in his eye, and that's what he was communicating to the guy. They would ask him a question, he'd be like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't have any recollection. You guys are going to vote for me anyway. You know it. So what's this? And guess what? He's right. They're going to vote for Condi. You know, and you know, that tells you all you need to know about the American judiciary, because, you know, if this guy can get in as Attorney General, why can't he get on the Supreme Court? He can.
He can.
Sure. It's just a matter of months, or maybe years.
And did you see him when he said they were bad men?
Bad.
So we had to torture them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they just let, 30 Brits go? Of Arab descent?
Mm.
Come on. These are the same guys that have been tortured for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, and then I saw a great article in the Chronicle, if you can believe it, because that paper takes like 5 minutes to read, but talking about Jose Padilla. Who is he? You know?
Right. I haven't seen that article, but what were they saying? What was their point?
Is no American citizen has any rights if Jose Padilla has
right.
no rights, and he can be held without habeas corpus or even
yeah.
seeing his lawyer. So he got some lawyer from Stanford who just saw him once in
right.
a completely unprivate conversation. And
right.
he's been held for 2 years.
I mean, you have to ask yourself, why are people rumbling about this? And, you know, most people, they depend on other people to do their rumbling for them. And they assume certain things about the law, about the world, and they don't know until it's their ass in the fire that it's not like that, you know. And, you know, like when I read part of the Hamdi case, and a lot of people, they base what they think they know about that case on what they read in the papers. Read the goddamn case. It ain't pretty.
Really? What's so bad about it?
Well, essentially it says that the government has the right to lock up American citizens if they deem them as enemy combatants. Now, they have to give them some access, like, you know, okay, you can have a hearing, you can have a habeas corpus, but my God, what does that mean in light of the American judiciary? You know, all of those guys that, for the most part, who had gotten to court, they got shot down, and they were in court.
This call is from a correctional institution and is subject to monitoring and recording.
You know, what does it mean in the real world? Nothing. You do?
I'm stunned, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you stand up, you're going to get really
That's
hammered.
That's the nature of the beast. And, if you think this guy can't get Patriot 2 through this Congress, you know, for them, they consider resistance making a speech.
I know,
you know. Barbara Boxer did a magnificent job. But still, out of what, 18, I think it was 16-2 on the votes.
Mm. It's like when you resist by just talking, they think it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, because it probably is, like, too much light.
Yeah, well, it's just that, you know, most of what we deal with every day is politics as usual. And politics as usual is, don't shake the boat, baby, you know. The system's cool. Everything will work itself out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was writing a little sub-paragraph about the statuses of your federal and state court hearings, and I was like, the title is The Politics as Usual.
Okay. So
it's like they're going to find some way to make it any good ruling not apply.
Yeah. That's a reality. And, you know, Americans are afraid of that reality. But, you know, we have to face it and rumble with what really is, not what we want it to be, you know. And that's the reality.
Mm.
That's the reality.
Mm-mm-mm.
You sound good, Kit.
You know, I'm doing really good. I mean, the world's
active, huh?
Yeah.
You have 1 minute left to talk.
And how about you? How's your health?
Good. It really is good. I mean, I haven't been running because I've been, you know, I've been running every day for years, for decades,
mm-hmm.
but for the last month or so, I've just been resting up the old dogs.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know, I go out there and shovel now.
Good.
Yeah, so, and what's the weather out there?
Oh, San Francisco's always cold. 50 degrees, I'm freezing.
You know it's a blizzard on this side.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole East Coast has been blizzarded out. Philly, Pennsylvania has gotten the brink of it.
Mm.
But it's been snowing for days out here.
Well, I miss it a little bit, the snow anyway.
Hey, yeah. You just saying
you have 15 seconds left to talk.
You just saying that to make me feel good.
Yeah, I do, actually. It's
you
nice.
Don't miss this shit.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, girl.
All right.
Good hearing you.
Yeah, you take good care.
You take care.
All right.
I'll try to holler, all right?
Okay.
All the best.
I'll be here.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.